he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you for taking time to join us as we take time to learn from God's Word together. The message you are about to hear comes from the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Listen to more sermons or learn more about the church at our website, capenazarene.org.
One of the things Jen laughs at me about is that I can fall asleep anywhere. If I'm in a waiting room at a doctor's office, and the doctor says, I'll be right back, he'll come back in and I'll have my eyes closed. Jen will go into the store for just a couple minutes and I'll be sleeping in the car. Then she likes to scare me. All kinds of different things. She'll find me just with nodding off, and I get comfortable and I end up falling asleep. To her, the biggest surprise is still that time she took me to a concert. and they started playing some songs I didn't know too well, and I started to nod off there at a concert with 30,000 people there, and it was loud, but I was tired. But for me, one of the ones that particularly stays in mind for me is a time in college where we were on our way home from a ministry trip. So I was a part of a ministry team at Olivet Nazarene University, and one of the teams I was a part of was called Omega. It was a volunteer, kind of dramatic skit kind of ministry team that would go and do, basically, if you would, modern-day parables. They were just little short snippets of skits and stories that we would act out and portray to kind of share a particular message from Scripture. And usually that weekend involved a Saturday youth event where we would do stuff with them and have things geared for them. And then usually we'd have a few to do on Sunday morning as well and share with the church. And then we'd go home that afternoon. And I remember one afternoon going home, and I was sitting in the passenger side, and we were driving home, and I started to get tired. So my dad, of course, being in the military, whenever we visited family, we drove many hours to visit family. It wasn't like just going across town. It was like driving 8 to 15 hours. It was long treks. And so I learned very quickly, the trip goes a lot faster if you just sleep through it. And so I would just fall asleep in the car, and that's one of the easiest places for me to fall asleep. And so I remember coming home from this trip, and we had stayed up late with the youth Saturday night. We had gone up. We had done some church stuff Sunday, some ministry things, and then we're going home, and I'm getting tired, and I'm in the passenger seat, so I start to fall asleep. And a thunderstorm starts. Now, in the Midwest, we get thunderstorms all the time. We're used to them. We get them like weekly. One of the things that surprises me about Maine isn't the snow. People thought I'd be surprised by that. No, it's you guys don't have very many thunderstorms. Yeah, you get them from time to time, but I mean like we get them once, twice, sometimes three times a week in the Midwest. You know, it's just like, you know, the Canadian cold air comes down and the southern air comes up and heads. It's just perfect. Tornadoes and thunderstorms. If you're just watching, this isn't a weather channel. This is my illustration. Cold air and the hot air meets, and we got the thunderstorms just shaking everything up. And one of these days we're driving back to Olivet. And it is just solid. I mean, just sheets of rain. It's one of those when you got the wipers on high, you still can't see hardly anything, right? I mean, it's just going. And I'm falling asleep on the passenger side, and I get an elbow from one of my teammates, and she says, "Tim, you need to stay up with me." She says, this thunderstorm is scary. It's shaking the car. I can barely see. Stay up with me. Don't go to sleep." And now I'm thinking to myself, oh, she's just nervous because of the storm. I'm like, and so I was like, oh, I just need to encourage her. So I open up my eyes and say, you got this. And I roll back over. And she pulls the car over immediately and lets me know in no uncertain terms that that wasn't good enough. Obviously, I found out that was not the right thing to say. Just, you've got this. Okay, but I was like, what am I going to do? I'm not driving. But if only I would have known what the right words to say were. If only there was a scripture passage somewhere that might tell me what the right thing to say could be when you're just trying to sleep through the middle of a storm. Oh, got it in Mark chapter 4. Let's go there. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. It says, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples," this is Jesus talking to his disciples, "let us go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him, and a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, and the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." What a story. Did I tell you that we're going on a boat in a couple weeks? But in this story, right, it's evening. The sun is going down. It has been probably a long day for Jesus, his ministry with his disciples. He is says, "Hey, we need to get on the other side of this lake. We need to get on the other side of the Sea of Galilee here. Hey, let's go." And so they get on a small boat, probably not very large. It says there's many other boats around him, like they didn't all pile in, so there's a whole lot of them going. And the sun is going down, and I look outside right now. I'm like, wow, the sun is going down now. It's pretty late. It's been a full day. Evening has come, and he's tired. They're going across, and sure enough, a storm kicks up. And Jesus, as tired as he is in the stern. I love the detail here. He's sleeping on a cushion. Makes me wonder, is that part of the boat? You know, like, hey, this is the lounge area? Or did he just bring a pillow with him? I love this. So Jesus is as relaxed as he can be in the back of the boat. And in this storm, you know, I imagine it. Like I've imagined those, like I've remembered the strong storms before, the sheets of rain coming down, blocking the vision, the boat getting shaken, them wondering, can we keep this thing straight? They're wondering if they can even keep it afloat with the waves crashing over. With the other boats around them, are they worried about crashing into them? And so this huge storm is out, and they are scared, and they are wondering what's going to happen, but they do know Jesus has done some miracles before. They do know Jesus seems to have a connection with God, so maybe he can help. And so they wake him up, give him an elbow, and say, "Jesus, it's scary out here. The storm is strong. Don't you care?" And Jesus, of course, says, "You got this." No, no, no. He doesn't say that at all, right? He gets up. And he speaks to the waves, and he says, "Quiet, be still." And I love this because, of course, God in our life doesn't just say, whatever, you'll make it through. It's not that big of a deal. It's in your hands. Jesus allows us to come to him, and he will address and help us address whatever it is that comes our way. He doesn't just, you know, the scriptures tells God doesn't slumber nor sleep. Indeed, we can come to him at all times with our concerns, and he will be with us. And Jesus here speaks precisely to that which is coming against them. This idea of being still is something that has stayed with me from the very beginning of ministry. One of the very first illustrations I ever gave in a message was one where God spoke to me through a passage like this. I'd gotten a phone message from somebody who said they had been in a car accident. And they were letting me know that they had been in a car accident. They told me where the accident had been. And then the message didn't give much more detail after that. Don't you hate those kind of messages? When you're like, wait a minute, but are you okay? Is everything all right? What's happened? What's going on? You told me you're in an accident. You told me where you are. What do I do here? And so I got myself worked up. Oh no, what do? I need to get over there. I need to make sure they're okay. And I started getting really antsy. And I'm like, okay. I got to make sure I'm there. I got to get there. And I'm going as fast as I can to get there. And I'm passing cars on the left, I'm passing them on the right, I am just booking it. I'm going to make sure that my friend is okay. And I'm fairly certain that on my way over there, I'm not driving very safe. That it's very likely there could be another accident. I have in my own hands, I have let myself kind of get worked up. But I found myself stopped at a stoplight. And just as I'm mapping out in my mind how I'm going to cut around this person and get in front of them, I see the back of the license plate, which has the words, "Be still." And in that moment, I felt the Spirit of God speaking to me and saying, Tim, I've got this. I can take care of this. And in that moment, the rest of my driving on the way to that site changed. That I was no longer driving in fear, no longer driving in a sense of inner turmoil, but I was recognizing, okay, God, I'm going to trust in you and that whatever good I can be, you have already been at work and you are already there. And that is a story that has kind of stayed with me, to trust in God, to kind of remember who he is. And there is a sense in which in this story where Jesus is saying to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Where indeed this is a message for them about trusting in God in the moments when the winds and the waves are crashing in against them. But also in this story, when Jesus says, be still, he isn't saying it primarily to the disciples. There is a sense in which you wonder, he's asking them why they're worked up, but it's not a be still moment just for them. This is what he says to the waves. When he says, quiet, be still, his primary target is to the seas and to that which has gone wrong around them. And this lets us know that the power of Jesus is tied specifically to the very God who indeed controls the winds and the waves. You see, the psalmists often speak of the Lord who commands the waters. In other passages of Scripture, you have, for instance, at the very beginning in Genesis, you have the Spirit that hovers over the waters. And then God creates the 7 days. That God is always the one who brings order out of the chaotic waters. In a story of the Exodus, we have Moses, who when he gets to the Red Sea with the army chasing him from behind, he gets to the Red Sea and they're stopped, they're at an impasse, but he lifts up his staff, right, and the eastern wind comes blowing through and parts the waters and they're able to go through. And so we have story after story of God showing that he is the one who has control over the waters. But perhaps the story that kind of reminds me the most in this story is the story of Jonah. He's a prophet. And God has told Jonah, hey, I want you to speak the news of salvation I have, and I want you to speak it to this city. And he says, no, I'm not having anything to do with it. You know what they've done to us? You know how they've displaced us? You know what they've done to our families and how they've destroyed? I'm not going anywhere near Nineveh. I'm not going there at all. And he runs. And he runs as far as he can until he gets to the sea. When he gets to the sea and realizes he can't run any further than that, he gets on a boat and he keeps going. He's like, I'm getting as far away from this as I can possibly go. And Jonah is sleeping on a boat when a storm comes. And when that storm comes, they realize that storm has come because God is not happy with somebody on that boat. And so they take Jonah and they throw him overboard. Well, Jonah kind of says, you know, it's my fault. You guys shouldn't die. And so he does the first selfless thing. He says, if anyone needs to pay for this, let it be me. And they throw him off. And of course, I mean, the story goes on, and of course, and God saves him and he ends up listening to the call. But in that story, you have Jonah who's sleeping on the boat, then recognizes something, he is not right with God, and he gets thrown off. In this story, there is no explanation for why the storm comes. Oftentimes, there isn't an explanation or an understanding of why the storms come, of why it seems like hard times come. Where it seems like it's so clear in Jonah, in this story, there's no one at fault. This is just something that has happened. And yet, Jesus is able to have the same control over those storms as God did over Jonah after Jonah had been thrown from the boat. This is a story that shows Jesus has all the authority of God. That the God who created the universe, the God who watches over us, is found in Jesus Christ. And that in him is all the power of God. When we do things like pray in Jesus' name, it's not just a formulaic saying. We are praying to the one who has the same authority as the maker of heaven and earth. We are praying to the one who calms the storms in life. We are praying to the one who wakes up, the one who is never indifferent. God never says to us when we go to Him in prayer, okay, God, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm concerned about this area of my life, or I'm concerned about something that's come up. God never says, you've got this. That's not how our God works. He never slumbers nor sleeps, the Scripture tells us. But what He does do is He directs us and He helps us navigate those storms. Indeed, He can help to remind us that our lives are not at the whims of the winds and the waves that come against us. But always and at all times, we are in the hands of a loving Savior and a God who wants to be with us and still that which comes against us. That this is the story of Jesus, and that when we pray in Jesus' name, when we pray and speak about Jesus, we are talking about the one who has control and authority in our life. And so the disciples ask, who is this? That the winds and the waves obey Him. That's been, that's the very line from one of the newer songs that we've been singing from Oceans. It's the theme, of course, in it as well. It's the theme from actually all the songs that we have sung today. This reminder that whatever comes our way, that the analogy of wind is an analogy for all that comes against us. But when the disciples ask, who is this? It is a question with an assumed answer, because of the parallels of faith and the parallels of Scripture that point us to the Lord who always has control over the winds and the waves and the storms of life. When the disciples ask, who is this? It is a question for us as well. What do we say? How do we acknowledge who Jesus is in our life? Is He the one that we can trust with during the storms of life? Is He the one that we can turn to and pray to and trust that He will be with us and guide us? Is He the one that we are willing to yield to in obedience? Is He the one we are willing to say, You are Lord, and on this journey, whatever storms come, I want You in my boat because I know that You will be with me. This is a story about us recognizing who Jesus wants to be in our life, and that He wants to be the one on our side in our boat, helping us out, and that He indeed will. And that when it seems like things are quiet, and it seems like, well, I don't know if I've heard from God in a while, that we can still know that we can turn to Him in those moments, and that we might find indeed that God stirs and that which comes against us and that which unsettles us can be calmed, and that we can find indeed that God is going to help us get to the other side. He's going to help us in those moments when things are dark and when things are rough. If we can acknowledge who He is as Lord and not be afraid to turn to Him. Because one of the things I've learned is as sometimes just as I'm prone to do, to think, oh, someone else has got this. It's going to be okay. That sometimes in yielding into this, everyone's going to be just okay. It's all going to turn out fine. That what happens instead is there is no yielding or turning over to the God who wants to have a hand in it, who wants to be glorified in it. And indeed, we end up missing then a portion of the blessing in recognizing that our God indeed has never been asleep but has always been near us. So let us turn to Him again and again and recognize that He is the Lord who is always readily available to us. And let's acknowledge who He is in our life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, You know exactly what boat we're all in right now. You know exactly where each person sitting here in worship, watching online, You know exactly where we're at right now. And Heavenly Father, it is my prayer today that we would remember again to turn to You, to acknowledge You as Lord in our life, and to be able to bring to You any concerns, no matter how small or how great, and trust that You are the God who is with us, that You are the God who is committed to be near us. And Heavenly Father, it is my hope and it is my prayer that where we've said, oh, I've got this, or I don't have to worry about someone else because they've got this, that Heavenly Father, today You would bring forgiveness for that and we would learn again that You are the God whose concern never ends, that you're the God who is ever present and ever absolutely interested in what is going on in our lives. And Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the one who brings calm, who brings assurance, and more importantly, sees us through when things are at their darkest and wildest. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being one we can turn to. And it is my prayer and it is my hope that we would find comfort in you when we're in the middle of things, and that we would find praise and glorification for you when you have seen us through. Thank you again for today. We honor you and we praise you. And we hope that you would help us to say and acknowledge that you are Lord in our life and the one we can turn to day in and day out.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. May God richly bless you as you serve Him today.